This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Little by little, the power is coming on in places hit by yesterday's blackout. It was the largest outage in U.S. history. Some 50 million people live in the affected areas, including New York, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Connecticut, and Vermont, and southern Canada. It's not known for sure what caused the outage. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
In New York City, the lights flickered out a little after 4:10 in the afternoon. Employees poured out of buildings, train stations closed down, and it took hours to evacuate all the New Yorkers in the subways. New York's Mayor Michael Bloomberg painted a rosy picture of New Yorkers' response.
To the best of our knowledge, nobody has been injured during the evacuation procedure from tall buildings or from the subways. There are people who are still in the subways as of last report, but the police are saying that the evacuation procedures are working, people are calm, and that they are getting out.
All those stuck in subways have been evacuated. There have been no serious incidents, but there have been at least 24 arrests, most involving looting in Brooklyn. Hospitals were able to access backup power systems. Dr. Herbert Pardes is the president of New York Presbyterian Hospital.
We are virtually as close to functioning as we ordinarily do as possible, and it's largely because we have the emergency power systems of our own.
On the streets of New York, as evening approached, a relaxed summer atmosphere often prevailed, particularly after it became clear that terrorism was not involved. People streamed down the avenues, a bottle of beer often in hand. Many were unable to find a way home to the suburbs or outer boroughs. Some people slept on the sidewalk, and some tourists could not get into their hotel rooms because their key cards did not work. Selma Brodsky and Lena Kuriskaya were trying to get to their home in the Brighton Beach section of Brooklyn.
And then no service. We all have the cell phones. No service, nothing. And you, look,
no police.
It's not in service. Buses goes, not in service.
And people
a lot
for
of buses.
Hours and hours. And no policemen. I know I asked two cops to help me. They said, I'm very sorry. They can't do it. I don't feel well already. I don't want to go to a hospital. It's a hospital or nothing. I don't want to do that.
Similar scenes played out across the country. Michael Boyd is an aviation industry consultant in Colorado and had this to say about airport closings.
Basically, without the power, the airport is shut down. Think of it as a major snowstorm with the heat turned way up.
In Toronto, freelance reporter Derek Stoffel described the streets as calm.
Police have appealed to people to stay indoors and turn their appliances off, so when the power does come on, it doesn't cause a problem. But if you look at the streets, while there are a lot of cars that aren't moving anywhere, people are still trying to go about their daily lives as best as they can. Mainly, they're just trying to get home and then figure out what went wrong.
But there were serious reports of looting in Ottawa. As dark enfolded New York City, police used flares and flashlights to direct traffic. In some cases, civilians took over the job, like this foreign student on 42nd Street.
I love New York City and I want to help this city already. There was this man. He was the first to regulate the traffic and I decided to help him. I look at him when he told me we tried to be complimentary, so when he stopped one direction, I authorized the other one, so this city is very amazing, so I want to do something amazing.
Looking at the clear night sky, there were more than the usual number of stars. This morning, there is no subway service in New York City, and power is returning much more slowly than politicians optimistically predicted last night. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.